Welcome back to another edition of Every Step of the Way Bible Study Discussion Group. A little more information about us. We're more of a discussion forum, a group of brothers that get together every Tuesday and talk about the gospel, share the gospel, share scriptures, and we tie it in with real life situations and try to make it plain and hopefully everybody can relate to it and we try to just bounce things off each other and make it make sense to the average man or even a seasoned person in the word. So hopefully you enjoy it.
It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
But obviously, you know, Satan, he's here, but he's not here in that form or whatnot. So I think a lot of times I forget about that. And I think Matthew 10 and 28, it pretty much sums up how this thing is, how we should look at this spiritual warfare thing. And it says, not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And I feel like that's just pretty direct that we do have a spiritual warfare going on. And it's saying that don't fear man, let man do whatever he wants to, but you better fear Satan because he can kill your body and your soul. Obviously we know we get cast into that lake of fire if we're not right in the soul. The first scripture that I'm going to talk about is Job 2 and 6. And it says, all right, do with him as you please, the Lord said to Satan, but spare his life. And this was talking about Job when before Satan started testing him with the legions of bulls or whatever it was that he had. I can't remember exactly what it was that he put on him and everything. To see if he could tempt his faith. And I think this is a great example. I know a lot of people, and we've said it before, a lot of people think that, you know, all I got to do is ask God for forgiveness and walk this walk and everything is going to be great. It's going to be rainbows. And that ain't the case. It's still going to be hard. I'm pretty sure that, you know, we all have our testimonies that we could attest to that this walk is hard and it does get hard. So obviously with Satan testing us, it's imperative that we put on the armor of put on God's armor, his full armor, and stay in prayer all day. And just make sure that we're constantly in prayer and we're constantly just seeking to grow in him so that we can combat everything that Satan may throw at us. Anybody got anything they want to add on Job 2 and 6?
He said in verse 7, it said, Satan went forth from the Lord and smote with the soles of both the sole of his foot to his bone. I mean, he had soles all over his body. And God gave permission to do that.
Hey, Josh.
Yes, sir.
You know, you keep saying Job, just make sure you know that's Job.
Job, yeah, I'm sorry. Good catch, Jerome. I'm sorry about that. But the reason I wanted to bring up this scripture here is because obviously Satan put Job through it. The swords that were all over his body, and he still remained faithful. His faith didn't waver. So I think no matter what we're going through, no matter how big, no matter how small it is, we need to stay in the word and we need to lean on God. And as long as we do that, then, you know, we can make it through. We keep our faith and we can overcome any issue or any struggles that he may pass. I mean, that he may send to us. Let's see. The second scripture I had was Luke 22 and it's verse 31 through 32. Okay. And that one says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I've pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me, strengthen your brothers. This scripture once again talks about the many ways that Satan will test us and test our faith. but it also talks about praying and strengthening our brothers as well. So I think when we go through stuff, it's important that we tell our testimony and we spread that testimony to each other so that we can help each other, help strengthen each other in this walk. Because as you know, we can't do this alone. We need each other. We need to be able to lean on each other. And just, sorry about that. We're not alone in this fight, and we're obligated by God to help each other out in our faith, to help each other grow stronger, to help each other lean on each other, to help each other bond together, and to help each other fight this fight. And has anybody got anything they want to add on that one so far on Luke 22, 31 and 32?
I'm gonna say, Josh, I know you were saying we're supposed to, you know, trust in God, you know, and keep believing, having that faith when we go through them good times. I mean, the bad times, you know, but it's still hard sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, as long as we're still trying to get to know Him and trying to grow through His Word, it's still a good thing. Even if bad, because some people could be like, well, why these bad things keep happening to you? You believe in God. But He gave us his test to His strongest warriors. That's what I hear a lot. Mm-hmm. So I try to keep that. I try to keep that in me. So stuff is just happening to me back to back. I just keep on praying. I just try to keep on praying and keep believing in His Word.
But it also shows us, you know, in today's time that the enemy, his game plan is the same as it was with Peter back then and there, to destroy everything, tried to destroy everything that God created, or try to twist things in our lives. And the same way Christ told Peter, I mean, that the enemy, he's coming and he's going to try to trip you up. But Christ, Jesus said that I prayed for you. And as we go through our trials today, in our lives, not that prayer he prayed for Peter, that prayer applies for us also today. And he didn't say you have to be perfect. We're gonna have issues. We're gonna fall short. But yet at the same time, if you think about Peter, if you read on, Peter said that, you know, this is my version translation, I'm going to always follow you even unto death. And Christ turned right around and told him, hey, before the rooster crow today, you're going to deny me three times. But yet at the same time, Christ, the Lord, knew his heart. And it goes right back, man, I can't get away from Jeremiah 29:11. He knew Christ had good thoughts for Peter, and not thoughts of evil, but he knew Peter had an expected end. He knew that once Peter got through those issues that he was going to be dealing with, what a mighty man he would become, because Christ knew the heart. And that's the same way with us as we battle and go through our issues today. He knows our heart. He knows the heart of a man. And for me, that helped me, because I'm not perfect, but yet the heart, God knows my heart. And that's the thing that he focuses on, the heart of a man or the heart of a woman is the heart.
Mr. Price, I think you was trying to say something earlier. You on mute.
Hello. Jonathan, you said it perfectly. It's hard sometimes. My family has made a decision to take one of my beloved cousins off the machine tomorrow. Love her to death. Beautiful. And it's hard. I was just with her. We were celebrating up in Charlotte. The thing today was, it's Tuesday. So I stopped by the church and laid before the Lord for a while. You know, did what men of God do. But the thing is, it's Tuesday. And on Tuesday night at 8:00, I'm going to be with the brothers. I'm going to be with the brothers, no matter what. And that's, it's not going to make it perfect, but it's going to uplift me. And for some reason, somebody tried to treat me like Bonnie Fife, the episode where they kept moving the choir around because they didn't want him to sing. So I guess Brother Boy didn't like the way I said about the Padres, but for some reason I couldn't get in till late, but it's all good. I was going to get in if I had to come to your house. But listen, man, I couldn't wait to get here. I couldn't wait to see you brothers, man, because, like I said, like Brother Jonathan said, it's hard sometimes. And we all go through it. And I heard you talking about Job. And you gotta think about that chapter, man. Because Job went through it. But in the end, as Brother Charles was saying for 29:11, in the end, he got double for his trouble. Not knowing that was going to happen, but because he was so faithful and because he told his wife how crazy she sounded when she told him to curse God. And he just told her, you lost your mind. You're crazy. I can't do that. I can't curse God. He's been too good to me. Why would I curse him now? And, you know, we just have to trust him. Like you were saying, Brother Josh, faith has a grain of mustard seed. I'm sure y'all have seen a mustard seed, but it says a grain of mustard seed. Sometimes we have to push ourselves to believe the word of God, no matter what, because, as Brother Jonathan said, it's hard sometimes. Yep. It's hard. And you just have to keep going. It's like this, and I'm going to let somebody else speak. When you ain't got nothing else, and the Lord is all you got, you're in good hands.
Got everything.
Say it again, bro. You got everything. That's all you need. So my thing is, if you start up from the beginning with faith and let the Lord be everything, it makes it better.
I wonder, the title Night Lessons was Spiritual Warfare, right, Josh?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Sunday, we were listening to service, Word of God with Pastor Davis, and he talked about, he went back to the Garden of Eden, and he talked about the desire. Everything happens, but the desire had to be there for it to happen. And I've been like in my mind, I've been seeing how that affects spiritual warfare, because whatever side the desire, if it's a heavy desire on one side, that's where the decision is going to make. That's the direction that we're going to take. And I just thought it was very interesting. I wanted to see you guys take on the desire, because for me, I've never heard the desire really mentioned in that. We heard about the manipulations and the roles and those things, but the desire. Eve had a desire for it. And it just for me, man, it fit with spiritual warfare, because yeah, we know we in the warfare. But how often do our desire leads us, we don't get swallowed and devoured, but how often do our desire leads us over there, and then we have to get snatched back? We have to get snatched back because of the covering. But how often do our desires leads us in the wrong direction in the spiritual warfare? Somebody jump on that. Give me your thoughts on that. Just the desire.
Well, I think the thing is, it goes back to what we talked about before. Not just always the desire, but man's sinful nature.
Right, right.
And as far as falling into that, and we know that what gets us in trouble a lot of times is our sinful nature is wanting to. Wanting to feed that desire, so to speak, dealing with that sinful nature, because man is sinful. If man wasn't sinful, well, you know, Jesus Christ that died on the cross for us.
Right.
You know, and it is that desire to long for sin that get us in trouble a lot when we're dealing with it. But and on it, something similar to that, Mr. Charles was saying that, and I understand what I'm talking about. He was talking about the, you know, God knows our heart, right? And the heart of a man. But isn't it where, in your opinions, you think people use that very statement as a license to sin? The statement of God knows my heart.
Definitely. You know how many times I don't use it? Man. hundreds of times.
We're talking spiritual warfare. That's the title, right?
Right.
Who are we warring against?
Right.
That's what you have to think about. Who are we warring against? I'm going to read you the scripture, but we're warring against somebody that knows the place we're trying to get to and the person that we're trying to serve better than we do because he's been in their presence.
Yes.
So we fighting warfare. That's why we have to go by the scriptures, because that's the only thing that can defeat him. Nothing we had or we does can defeat him unless we use the scriptures. I'm gonna read you something from Isaiah, the 14th chapter. I'm not gonna read the whole verse because it's long, but it says around the 12th verse, here's what it says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? But thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Even he had desired that he wanted to exalt his throne above God. And that's what got him kicked out.
Right.
He wanted to be above God. He wanted to be the head man.
Right.
And that was his desire. Now, our desires, let's pray they're not the same. But we have to learn the mistakes that he made today, because a lot of folks do exalt themselves above one another, and they desire to have things that's not for them, or desire to have something that somebody else have, and that's not for them. Lasciviousness and you know, covetousness is very serious in the kingdom. You know, a lot of people might just want to be talented in baseball, like Brother Boyd, not me, but like Brother Boyd, and you know, might be envy and jealous of that. But desire goes a long ways, and yes, it started in heaven, in the garden, but he was there then. The serpent, he was there then, more subtle than all.
Brother Ross.
Yes, sir?
I want to ask a question to you, because you said, initially you said, who are we battling against, right?
That's right, warfare, who we won against.
To what Prentice said about our sinful nature, right? And that sinful nature is huge, because we are sinners.
That's right.
But in the discussions, it's always us against Satan. And for me, I feel like it's us against us and Satan. Because we are our worst enemy. But it's like we make the battle. I know about the covering and the blood, but the day-to-day battle is me against me and Satan. Because I can call Jerome and get a word, and 30 minutes later, Satan telling me, Jerome don't know what he's talking about. That's Baby J.
No, not even 30 minutes.
So the battle, we say the spiritual warfare is us against Satan, but man, I think if we go deeper and make it me against me and Satan, that'll push me to go harder to understand the true battle. Because for me, that's the true battle, is me against me and Satan.
Let me see if I help you. Remember, you're a spirit.
Right.
In a fleshly home. That doesn't like you. You in a house that don't like you because you're spiritual.
Right, right.
Yeah, you're spiritual. And it's going to war against your spirit. The Apostle Paul said, I crucify my flesh daily. And it's a reason for that. Because while you're sleeping and your spirit resting, the flesh still warring. It makes you get up and want to eat. It makes you get up and do stuff that you really don't want to do. But it's the flesh. It never gets enough. It's the body that we have to be on this earth. That's why to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The spirit goes back to the Lord. Man. But you have to understand that the flesh, you will never be perfect on this earth. This flesh going to get its way sometime, period. And we have to accept that and move on. Not that I heard you and Brother Brooks talking that yeah, we use that, you know, God know my heart sometimes. You know, use it a lot. We understand that. But you have to understand that you're going to sin. The Bible also says in Ecclesiastes, I think, that no man that doeth good sinneth not. No man. So if you're trying to do good on this earth, you're still going to sin.
Right.
You're still going to sin. So we don't have to try to be perfect. Jesus is the perfect one. What we have to do is remember that we on straight street. We striving to get there. Right. We're trying to make one day better than the next. We're trying to help somebody along the way. Tell them about the goodness of the Lord. Because I'm not perfect, so please don't look at me like I'm perfect. Just because I got a suit on, just because I, you know, I might be looking decent or something. I used to be a mess. And that, you know, that's what our testimony tell folks. You know, I once was dead, you know, dead, but now I'm alive. We tell them the testimony because our desires that we have sometimes can trick people into thinking that we are more, not on purpose, but because they're looking and listening at the enemy, they may think that we think we're better than what we are, and we're not. We're just humble servants,
right,
that the Lord has blessed with favor, mercy, and grace, and it looks good on us. It looks good. And people come to us, they flock to us, because they see the Lord upon us. And it's not something special. It's the gift of God. Anybody can have it. We just have to stay humble and use it in the right way. But we'll never be perfect for all the sin and came short of the glory of God. So now that subject that you was talking about, Pastor, Bishop Davis, I didn't hear, but he's a good teacher.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. What
did
you got?
I got another question real quick. It kind of came up from one of my friends. I was looking through this and talking through it. And then Prentice brought it back up. We're talking about the sinful nature. I was asked, if God hates sin, why does he allow it? If he knows our heart and he knows that, you know, if Ty, he know your heart, he know that you mean well, you want to get into heaven, and he know my heart, and he know that, you know, I'm faking everything and I have no desire for that. Why does he not make you perfect as Jesus was and not allow you to sin and just let me wallow?
I see some hamsters.
I see it as to help the next person that's going to go through that same thing. That's how I kind of see it. I mean, they know your heart, but you can help that next person that might be doing that same sin or doing something. You can help them and give them some advice and let them know the Lord still loves you no matter what you're doing. As long as your heart and you're trying to get to know him. That's my opinion on that.
Right, let me jump in here on this one.
Yeah.
Let's look at it this way, Josh. Everybody says, why did God not make us do something? See, God wants us to choose him. He know he has the ultimate power to do whatever, but it's part of the free will process.
Mm-hmm.
He don't just make us do what he want us to do. He gives us a mind and a knowledge to say, okay, do you want this goodness that I have? He wanted to be, because he love us. But this is our way of showing God that we love him when we choose to walk in his word. See, he plant the seed, he got us, but he would never make us. That's just like me. I would never make my kids want to spend time with me. I want them to spend time with me because they love me,
right,
because they want to spend time with me.
Free will.
God want us to spend time with him because we love him just as much as he love us. And that's when he gets the glory. When we choose to say, hey, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm going to walk in this walk. And then he gets that pleasure, and then he takes the rest of the way. But I don't think he ever just make us do anything, and that's why he don't stand in. And to go back to the first part, and I don't want to talk too long, I want to put this out there for us. Ephesians 6, 12 and 20 says, 12 through 20 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness and high places. Have we ever thought about that? That, you know, God kicked Satan out of heaven. He came down to earth. But we have anybody ever thought that we may be pawns in this fight? That this fight is really between God and Satan, and we the pawns, and both are battling for our love, for our affection.
That's a strong point.
So what I'm saying is, and this is what we are about on Tuesday night. We're about discussion topics. So I'm not saying that I'm biblically correct here. It's a thought process, what I'm putting out there.
Right.
All I'm saying is Satan fights for us, God fight for us. When Todd was talking about it's between us, sometimes I don't feel, man, sometimes the things that happen in my life, it happens so fast. Mm-hmm. I feel like, man, I ain't had no part in that. That wasn't even none of me.
That's where I'm at. Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? It happened so quick and it happened so fast that you feel like it has to be a different type of power going on, because it just catches you so by surprise.
Right.
But by the covering of Jesus Christ, we know we're going to make it, because now when you make that choice, then no matter what Satan does, he can't get you. And when you give your life to Christ, I don't know if we know this, Satan cannot touch Job. He could not touch Job without God giving Satan
permission.
Yeah. Mm. Yes.
That goes for us as well.
That's you.
I'm gonna leave it at that, guys.
Yeah. I wanted the heart thing, right? You said they asked about the heart. The heart is minimal in terms of him moving. He wants us to commit and make confess. You know, he wants to be intentional about seeking him.
Amen.
And that's why, back to Jerome, with the free will, we have free will. And so, until we commit and be intentional about serving him and seeking him, he's not going to move. He's not going to move, because I'm just Joe Blow until he sees my commitment and my dedication and my love for him, that my love strives to match his love for me. And so that's my answer to that.
And you have to remember, I'm going to take one side of it. Jerome put it out there so eloquent. I'm just going to take one side. You have to remember, sin cannot touch the Lord.
Amen.
It stinks in his nostril. It can't touch him. So our sin doesn't touch him now. That's just sin. Now remember this. One third of the angels was kicked out, and they followed Satan. You have to remember, angels were perfect. Well, they didn't want for nothing, but they followed that dude. They followed Lucifer on that morning. They followed him. You have to remember that. And Jerome said, are we pawns? Well, you have to remember, there was only one, and still only one in charge. Now, he sent them here and gave him here, this place to dwell. And yes, we in the midst of it. And he's doing his job. You're so right. But remember the ultimate say-so, like you said, about Job, you can only go so far. He's not going to allow him to take your life. But we do have free will. And you have to remember that. Free will will get you in trouble if you can't handle it. That's why you have to obey the word of the Lord. You have to stay in the Bible. You have to stay rooted and grounded. You have to study to show yourself approved, because you remember before you got saved, at least I do. And before I got saved, I'm this perfect picture of wretch undone. Whatever it was, I did it. It was never too big, never enough. I did it, and I kept doing it 7 days a week. No mistake about it. So free will get you in trouble. It'll take you, let me say it this way, and I'm going to let somebody else talk. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay,
right,
and cost you more than you willing to pay.
Let me ask this what you just said, and it's kind of the pun question that Jerome brought up. He sent Satan here, right?
Mm-hmm.
To earth.
Right.
And the angels followed. Was that strategic? Why not just demolish them?
He set a date for that. Yeah. He set a judgment date for that.
Right.
Even for them fallen angels, those angels that's bound up and chained in the pits, in the bottom of the pit, even those angels, he set a day of judgment for them. So now what we have to remember, though, about that is he did that to the angels imagine what's going to happen to us if we forget to make him our Lord and Savior.
But I'm going to jump in there with this too, Todd. I think that's a very good question Todd posed.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to remember that God is all knowing. I think yes. Todd is correct.
Right.
I think it is part of the process to make sure that we, because God knew that he was going to have to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross because of what was going on with the Satanists and the fallen angels. And he knew that, hey, we was going to have to make a choice. Either we was going to choose them or we was going to choose him.
Right.
So all of it was part, I think Todd is right. I think it all was a part of God's initial plan because he's all knowing. He's all knowing.
Right. And it makes you think about the lukewarm scripture. Because it's I sent him. I'm everlasting. I'm always going to be here. Who are you going to choose? And every day you have a choice. Which one you going to? It's only good. It's good and even. That's it.
Go ahead and say it. It's Joshua, the 24th chapter, 15th verse. Choose you this day. Who you going to serve?
Amen.
Right.
Yeah, choose you this day. And you have to make that choice. I mean, a lot of people say, well, why would God send somebody to hell? No, he's not sending you there. He's telling you. Yes, he's telling you to choose.
Hey, and in the spiritual battle, this topic, we done talked about it a couple of times, but it's so rich. Because when we start taking ownership, you know what I'm saying? As I'm growing, accountability in this spiritual warfare, all of it falls on me. But sometimes when we babes, we are blamed. We get mad and we blame God and we blame Jesus. But man, if I know that this is a spiritual warfare, I wouldn't make half of the. If I'm focused on this warfare, I wouldn't make half of the decisions that I make.
Yeah,
I know it's a spiritual warfare. I just turn around and do dumb stuff without even thinking about it.
Amen.
I got a thing I like to respond to you. Respond to you guys about I think it was Jerome said somebody said that we were kind of like pawns in this game or in the beginning when God created man Adam and Eve, he created them in his own image, in his own likeness. He gave them dominion over earth. Satan was here at that given time, but God gave Adam and Eve dominion over them. They had power over the earth. Everything, because you remember, they were created in God's image. Everything that Adam said, like when Adam named all the animals, all the creations, that's what they became, because he operating in the image of God, and they had the authority and the power. But when they relinquished that authority, and because God will say, God wanted, there was going to be heaven right here in the beginning. Adam and Eve. Then they gave the authority over to Satan.
Amen.
And through the Bible, through the process to get that authority back to man that he created, he sent Christ to give us that authority back.
Amen.
To die for our sins and to give us that authority back.
Right.
Now, Pastor Rob, you remember you said that I think Revelation 1:5-6, how when Christ came, he washed us in his blood, he washed away our sins.
That's
sinful nature. Now this is the truth, what the truth said, when that whatever stupid thing Charles did. When I gave my life to Christ, all that stuff washed away. Washed away, he gave me authority. He told in the truth, he said, now, Charles, you are a king. I have established you as a king, and not only have I established you as a king, but you are a priest. But when I operate in the truth, in his truth, then the dominion that Adam and Eve had through Christ is established in us today. I think in the end of the flesh, I kind of drift back. Remember, Todd, we talked about all that trash, how we take the trash out for the garbage people to pick up.
Yeah.
But you don't never go out and you don't never go in the trash can to get stuff out. That's the same with our sin. When Christ washed away the sins were gone. He forgot about it. It's just done. But yet in my humanness as Charles, I would try to go back and dig stuff out. Oh, where are you? And the stuff I'm digging out is not what God created me to be.
Can I help you a minute?
Yeah.
Everybody familiar with who justice is? Justice. Well, you have to remember, justice wouldn't allow us to come back to the Lord after Adam and Eve. Justice, part of God, said you're going to have to do something to get your children back. Now, justice don't want anything. It wants its original. It's justice. So, in order to get somebody back to, or get somebody to go for the people of God, to bring them back to God, it had to be just as pure as it was before they sinned. Mm-hmm. That's why every time, as Brother Charles said, when we come to the Lord, all that mess that we did is washed away.
Yes.
And sin can no more, yeah, we're going to sin. But on the day of judgment, when they hold that against us, justice going to say, somebody paid for that already.
Yes.
Mm. Somebody paid. As long as you in Christ Jesus, justice will stand there on your judgment day and say, he paid for that. Jesus Christ paid for that. That's what the cross is for. He paid. Now, you got to be in the Lord. You got to be in Christ Jesus. I'm not telling you to go out there and sin. Because sin, for the wages of sin, is death. You can send yourself to death. And I don't encourage you to try that. But it's been paid for. We can't diminish that. That the blood of Christ on that cross, the sin of the world, Adam and Eve only committed one.
Yes.
He didn't go to the cross for us to keep nailing him back up there. No, he went for that sin. And he paid for that price. Pure blood. My dirty blood wouldn't do it. Your blood wouldn't do it. Not Abraham, not Isaac, not Jacob. None of them in the Bible. Only Jesus Christ. The pure blood of Christ would take away the sin of the world. And justice said, I accept that. I accept Jesus Christ's blood because he never sinned. Now, if you don't come through Jesus Christ, you're not getting in. Period. You have to come through the one that paid the price for you. I didn't pay it. None of us paid. Jesus Christ did. And just to say, I accept that, paid in full.
Brother Robert, you're on fire tonight. Well, you must have got a vacation day today. You had 10 hours sleep today.
I told you where I was.
What you got, Josh?
The last scripture I had was 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, mm-hmm. to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And the reason I chose that scripture is because it tells us plain as day that, you know, we can't fight this fight on our own. We got to lean on God. We got to use prayer and allow him to help us and use the heavenly weapons. Because as Rome was saying earlier, you know, that maybe this is a battle between God and Satan. I love, and he knows that if he leaves us in our flesh, that things gonna win. Our flesh is gonna win out every time. So we just gotta constantly lean on him in prayer. I know Brother Glenn said it numerous times. I know Jonathan said it. I know a lot of people said it, that we find ourselves constantly praying all day. It could be a situation where, you know, we get cut off by somebody in the road instead of, you know, reverting back to our old self and wanting to say a couple of four-letter words. You know, we pray for that person. Like, hey, you know what? God, I pray that they get to wherever they're going safely. They don't hurt anybody and they don't hurt themselves or whatever. And I think that's what it's all about, is just constantly staying in prayer and letting God lead and order our steps. That's all I got on tonight, fellas. I don't know if anybody else has anything they want to add on to that. Or
now, Josh, when you read that last verse, that last set of scriptures, verse 3 says, "For though I walk in the flesh, I don't walk after the flesh. For the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God." And I reckon, and Paul talks about that struggle with flesh. He gets up in the morning with good intent, but yet he wind up doing wrong. And I reckon that the biggest thing, struggle for me is I have to accept the truth. The truth tells me that I am dead to sin and I'm alive unto righteousness. Mm-hmm. So if anything is dead, there's no effect to it. But when I, as a free will being and a follower of Christ, I got my will to choose. Whenever I choose the thing of the flesh, then that's when that whatever I choose is going to affect me spiritually, and it's going to affect my entire being as a follower of Christ. But if I'm dead to pride, if I'm dead to lust of the eye, if I'm dead to flesh, the truth says it won't affect me. But I'm alive unto love. I'm alive unto joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, and faith. But when that person cut in front of me, I have to make myself become alive to, Lord, I love him, bless him, help him to get where get where they're going safely, and help me to get where I'm going safely.
Right.
So I have to put forth effort. I have to make myself, the truth says, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. That means that old Charles, that old nature that Charles loved so is dead. And how do I feed that nature? I talk to it. You know, I used to do this. I used to do that. But why can't I say, I'm a born again believer. Why can't I walk in the spirit? Why can't I say his love is being manifested through me today, his joy? If I'm having a bad day, the truth said goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That's true. I have to speak to myself the truth. That's it.
Hey, that's good word, bro. Give me something, Dakota. I see that little hamster. He's dangling off the wheel, boy. He's about to kill himself.
Oh, there you go. Praise the Lord, brother. I know I got in late. Hey, man, as usual with my prayer service that we be having on Tuesday night. But but like Galatians 5:16, when it says that, you know, walk in the spirit, that you don't not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And like I said all the time, and it's true, whatever you feed the most, that's going to grow. And I say that over and over, and I always say that. And I noticed some people use some putting traffic in the is one reason that can get people out of character, even as Christians, because nobody likes to be cut off or driving somebody slow or whatever. The thing that I tell you right now, that everybody swears that the best driver, there's one way to get people out of character, and that's in traffic. I say, because if Christians get in a wreck and you the main one out there in the street fussing and yelling, and you got all them scriptures on the back of your windshield or your bumper, that don't look good.
Right.
Because somebody done cut you off or done hit you or bumped you or something like that.
Man,
there have been people that ride with me to work, and one thing I can honestly say, And I can say this on, and be, I don't know who gonna be looking at this. I can boldly say this, that whoever have rolled with me to work for a period of time have never seen me blow up in traffic. And there's a reason for that. Number one, everything that somebody has done to you, you done done it too.
Yeah. There you go. That. Right. Somebody, correct.
Whether it be by accident, right, whatever the case may be. How many times have you changed lanes and somebody blew the horn at you?
Like, oh, Jesus. Jesus.
You didn't realize you cut that person off.
Yeah.
And Jesus. You sit at a red, you say, oh, look at that fool just ran that red light. Okay, you never ran a red light.
Jesus.
And a stop sign. Come on now. That's why I don't, that's why I say, I don't say, look at that idiot right there. Because whatever that idiot have done, I done did it too.
I done too. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
And like, yeah, nobody has PD printed on their license, which means nobody.
Jesus. Jesus.
So therefore,
Jesus.
I'm like, why blow up in traffic? Everything what they done, you done done the same thing.
Right.
You get mad for nothing. And what, now that's why I say I don't blow up at people when they in front of me. And you know, so with that being said, stay in your word, stay in prayer, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I know that's easier said than done. When I first got saved, I'm trying to tell you, 2004, 2005, 2006, I never missed a day reading that word. I stayed in it. I made sure I was in that word and whatnot. And I know it's easier said than done because I know we all don't read our word every day like we're supposed to. I'm not going out now. If some of you, God bless you. If you can do that, if you can go on, well, reading your word every day, we should do that. And every day we should do that and stay before God in prayer, develop that relationship, because if you don't, you'll start fulfilling that lust of the flesh. And just like brother said, then four-letter words will start coming out, because some Christians are good until they get mad. And then when they get mad, then the four-letter words come out. And that's not good. That just because you get mad, that's not an excuse to start saying things that you ain't got no business. Now you done let the flesh take over. Ask God to guard your tongue, guard your mouth, like you spoke, but the word says that last speech should be edifying and whatnot. We shouldn't be doing that. How in the world you go give somebody a testimony and tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord and you cussing?
Yeah.
Jesus.
The truth is the truth. It's real. You got to be real with this thing.
Right.
Amen. God bless you, brothers, and stay in the spirit and don't fulfill the lust of that flesh. Amen.
Right.
Somebody. So you brothers just told us that we are in a spiritual warfare. And the last scripture Josh read talks about, I don't fight this war with worldly weapons. I use spiritual weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are spiritual weapons?
The word of God.
All right. But you not, you use the word of God, you use prayer, but how do I do this? I'm a person trying to find my way, and every time I come across somebody that quote unquote is the person that's supposed to be a Christian, and I ask the question, how do I do this? I get go pray, I get read your Bible, but what do that mean to a person trying to feel his way in the dark? He trying to get out the dark space. What do that mean to me?
But let me help you out. I might miss a word or two, but I'm gonna try it anyway. Ephesians 6th chapter. I think it starts right now. 10th verse. Finally, my brother, I will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I put on the whole armor of God that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, if we talk about the fruits of the spirit, which I thought the young man was going to say, because he said them all the time, love and compassion and all the fruits of the spirit. When you come across that traffic you was talking about, and I'm talking about WWJD, I'm talking about what would you do? Now, you know that blowing the horn at somebody, at the wrong person, might get more than what you asked for.
Right.
That's right.
I don't know their state of mind. So we go into a spiritual battle and we make the right choice to, like, say what Brother Charles say. We say, Lord, bless them.
Right.
See, the enemy can't handle that. Mm-hmm. Instead of you getting mad and going tit for tat, you going into a spiritual warfare. You say, Lord, bless them. Help them get on their way. Make them safe to their journey. Let them go home to their family. Mm-hmm. That's spiritual warfare. You taking the spirit and turn into natural through the flesh to make right. a decision to keep the word of God go flowing. Because now you blessing somebody that the enemy is saying you should be cursing, but you bless them. And see, warfare, like I said, is not the flesh, it's the spirit. So most of the time when we think, the flesh make the first move, but the spirit takes
right,
over.
Right, right, correct.
And makes the right move, not the first move, the right move. Right. And that's why studying to show yourself a fruit come up all the time. Because if you don't know the right move or know the right word to put in your body and to say out, to speak those things as though you want them to be, not as though they are. As Father Abraham, as the Lord was talking to Abraham, we have to speak those things as though we want them to be, not as though we see them how they are. We finna change something. That's spiritual warfare. I know that red light, that guy ran that red light and almost hit that car. Mm-hmm. But somebody hollered, Jesus! And changed direction. That's spiritual warfare. That's not an accident. That's spiritual warfare. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's why you have to speak that name, because there's power in that name. And the spirit moves the flesh. The flesh walks around, but the spirit moves the flesh. And we war against things, against the spirit and the flesh. And the word makes the right choice, not the first choice. In every situation we go through, even when we first, I'm going to somebody else speak, even when we first get up, sometimes we say, I want to get 5 minutes. 5 more minutes. And you know you can't. And the spirit tell you, well, you got to do this and you got to do this. You're just going to get up. You get up. The flesh want to lay back down and get them other 5 minutes.
That's right.
But the spirit pushes you because you know you got an 8 o'clock appointment and you got to be there on time. Right. The spirit makes the right decision in warfare, even for somebody else. Even for somebody else. We have that kind of power. That's why you hear people say, I was thinking the same thing you was when you called me. It's the spirit that connects to one another. The flesh is not going to connect. The flesh is going to tell you, man, sit down somewhere. You don't know what you're talking about. It does not want you to connect, because you can speak to each other and you know it's true because it doesn't happen. And I hear y'all talk about it. Man, we was doing the same thing, but we weren't even, and didn't even call each other. That's the spirit. It wants to connect.
Hold on a second, Todd.
Go ahead, sir.
I think what you missing the question that Prentice is asking. I think what he's trying to ask is, what about those people that don't know
right
how to let the spirit connect? What do they do? So you're going about the people that already know, that already have the avenues to do what they need to do. But what about those people that's watching these Zoom meetings and saying, I want to learn how to get the spirit. I want to learn how to not let my flesh take over. I want to learn these things. What do they do? How do they go about doing
it? Good to hear your voice, sir. Hey,
that's what I was going. I was going there.
Good to hear your voice.
Pause. When we was little pups, the first thing happened when we got to school, but we said the Lord's Prayer, right? None of us were saved in the third grade. None. So for someone who's watching this and that's where they at, and they want to know, how do I get to that through the dark? Pray anyway. You did it in the third grade. You do it enough, then it'll be more, it won't be dark as much. It'll start to light itself, because the spirit is inside of you. The spirit is inside of you. And so when you pray and you talk to God and you ask God to help you, he will. And then you're still going to have to come out of that dark place and seek him. But he's there just because you're in the dark and you don't profess to be saved. You wasn't saved in the third grade when that intercom, boom, and we did the Lord's Prayer. I would suggest that you look at it that way also.
Yeah. But you know, here's the crazy part about it. Most of the people that's trying to find us, they don't know how to pray, or so they think.
Right.
They don't understand prayer is not something that's orchestrated. It's something that you have a genuine conversation with God, opening up your heart.
Right. It's good.
I want to
I want to jump in. I think for me, when I first started out and what Prentice was talking about, the way that I got to where I could, I had to get into Bible study. I had to go to Bible study because that's where you can really get into it and then ask those questions and be ministered to and be taught how to deal with those situations. And then there's scriptures for that to help a person. They got a hunger and thirst for that. And so you got to be a brother to come along and pull them and bring them in, because that's what happened. I was pulled in that way, and I was brought in the way I could have scripture and it'd be broken down and explained to me so that I would be able to understand. See, because what Prentice talking about, these are people that don't know, you know, how to go about that. So what I did when someone helped me, I pulled another brother or sister along, and then I was able to, because I was able to get them in that light and be around people. And there was other young people in like kind that was there that they could be ministered to word and be taught. See, people need to be taught, you know, how these scriptures can help me and how can I apply them to my life? See, that's what they want. They need some scripture and they have to be broken down. The only way that they can get that is in Bible study. You know, a person getting up and speaking, preaching, but they're not going to get it like that. You know, they have to get in a group. They have to get around men and women and of like kind so that they can be taught. So that's how I got to where I was. And then I began, that faith began to kick in. You know, now I have faith, you know, walk by faith and not by sight. So now I was living that and I was experiencing that through the word. And that's how they need to get. They got to get connected into a group like that, in the body of Christ.
Yeah, yeah. And you're absolutely right. But Jerome has said it numerous times. Mm-hmm. How many churches out there do right by people that's coming in?
Right. You got. And see, and you know, you're right about that, because see, what people, they come and get saved, but don't nobody keep communicating with them. Exactly. Then they fall back to the wayside. So just because when they get saved, you just got to have a connection with them. You got to keep calling them. Hey, brother, how you doing? See, because they're babes in Christ and they need to be keep getting fed. So that's what happened to me. And they were calling me, you know, because they didn't see me on Sunday. Hey, they picked the phone up. Hey, brother, we know what's going on. You got to have a genuine empathy and concern for your fellow woman, your fellow man.
I got a thought for you guys. Francis, Brock, Nicola, George, Josh, Jonathan, Jerome, Rich, Todd. Let's look at this thing. Try to look at it from God's perspective. And I'm going back to that first. George, you came in with 29.
Yes, sir.
All right. Jeremiah said that God speaking through Jeremiah, and he says that I know the thoughts that I think toward that individual that don't even know.
Right.
Because I did, before there was a beginning, you were on my mind. I know you.
Mm-hmm.
That the thoughts that I have toward you are thoughts of peace, not of evil. So that's the destiny that God has for all men that you might be. Then he tells gonna say, you have to come to me in any kind of form or a pattern because I know your heart. He said, when you call upon me, I will answer you. And when you look for me, I will be found. That is God saying, I gotta open my arms to everybody. Your way to me might be different from mine, but I know your heart. I place those things in you. So come to me, whatever avenue you have to get me. Because I remember at Vacation Bible School, the teacher asked me to pray, and I was so happy to pray. But I mean,
okay,
that if anybody ever asked me again to say a prayer, I wasn't going to pray any kind of prayer, any kind of shape. I was going to let God hear what was on my heart. And it might not sound like you, it might not sound like her, but yet that prayer was between me and God.
You're right.
So if I'm seeking God, you don't come to him in kind of shape or fashion, because he already knows. And he's and Jeremiah says he already got it expected in for you. But you have to choose.
Right.
Can I ask a question? Why is it that an individual can go to the club, get shot at, jumped on, put out, knocked out, and the next week they're right back there? We get into the church and somebody look at them wrong and they never come back. Somebody say one word wrong to them, they never come back to the church. They go to the club over, and I know you're looking at the choir now. I'm telling you, over and over again. But do that in the church, and then never come back.
I can answer.
Yes, sir.
Because when you come out of the world and go to the church, your expectation of the people there are high.
Yeah, that's right. It's very high.
So when you get treated like they're in the church, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable in your eyes, because you have a way of looking at these people. You putting them on a pedestal, not God, but you put them on a pedestal because you think they are better than you. But in the club, you know everybody's the same. You're comfortable there. It's like going back home. You get into a fight, you go back home. You fight with your brothers and your sisters, you go back fight again. But when you go to the church house, you've heard all these people talk about how Christians are supposed to act.
Right.
And when they don't, and when they don't treat you with the love and respect that you've heard, it's a disappointment. And I'm speaking from experience.
Now, somebody said it earlier, and that's because of the teaching. It's supposed to be about Christ Jesus and not mankind. You can't put people on pedestals. And I'm not speaking for every church or anything like that. I'm not even speaking for a building. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the body. And you can't put people on pedestals, not even in the club. But they're no better than you. I mean, that come up from, I guess, neighborhoods or whatever. But if you allow somebody, you think somebody better than you are, then that's not right thinking. Because nobody's better than another person. Everybody have their own gifts. You learn that at school. Everybody can't play basketball. Everybody can't play baseball. You can't play football. You can't be a scholar. Everybody's just not in that position. Everybody don't have all them gifts. So everybody's not better than another person. They just do something different.
But I think that's how you was taught. That's how you grew up.
That's teaching.
If I'm looking at it from my side, that's how you were when as a young fellow, as you grew up, that's what was ingrained in, I only speak for Chris, that what was ingrained that if you are a Christian or you go to the church, they look at you different. Not necessarily that you per se as that age putting them on that pedestal, but that's how you are showing them to treat them on a different level of respect. And so when that heartbreak happens to some people, it's a shocker, because
you're
ready to think that this person can't be like that. You haven't been shown any other way. Because that's what that's just speaking for me. That you haven't been shown any other way, that this is how this person is supposed to be, whether it's brother so and so or so and so. They are deemed as the leaders of this church house or this person of God, or higher. But then when you find out the other side of it, it kind of diminishes your picture a little bit in that moment. because you don't know no better.
Yeah.
So you was taught. So my mission to earth, and that's what was the point of my whole question about answering the question in the beginning, was being taught. Until I was taught and learned different,
right.
That I'm not supposed to look at nobody as being perfect or put right. on a pedestal. Nobody, that's where I learned different. Not from the beginning, but that's where I learned
different. Exactly.
Now I grew up in. It's
all about, here's the thing, man. You go to a church, the first thing you have is what you see. No more, no less. Not what you hear, but what you see. And when you see a person say something that everybody respects, Deacon John, he walks in there, but he looks you up and down like, why are you here? But better yet, he gives you this little look and like he just shrugs you off like you're nobody.
Mm-hmm.
See, I can't speak for everybody else, but I've been to churches like that and it turned me against it when I was young.
Mm.
That's the kind of stuff that I think Prentice and Jerome are alluding to. So why would I want to listen to you teach anything
mm-hmm.
if that's what you're presenting? Because you already presented me with an already hostile mm-hmm. environment.
Right.
And then turn around, I'm supposed to listen to you, but yet you're right. being hypocritical because you're not, right. you're teaching it, right. but you're not following
it. Right.
But even with that.
Let me say this real quick, Rob. I don't want to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Paul said it well. Paul said you can prophesy, mm-hmm. you can preach, you can sing, but if you don't have love in your heart, none of it means anything.
Amen.
It means nothing. So with that being said, with the question again that was asked about how do you get somebody to that point that don't know nothing about Christ, you got to have enough love in your heart to want to make sure that they get there and teach them. See, I could sit up there and preach, but what about the love? It all boils down to the love of Christ is in you, but a love for you have empathy and compassion for another person. See, because once you bring that person into the fold, you got to be there for that brother or that sister to help them along. Does that make sense? Because the power and magnitude, Christ loved us enough that he went to the cross and died for us, knowing that we were sinners, knowing that we don't sin and continue to sin, but he loved us enough to do that. So that's where we come in. So when people come into the church, yeah, they see you up there preaching, but you got to show, you got some love and compassion. That's why when I was an usher, because I felt that it was important when somebody come in, you know, I showed them love. Hey, brother, I love you, and hug them. And they look at me like, you know, what's going on with this brother? Because even the pastor, I never forget it. The pastor was up front. He said, he came to preach. He said, where is that brother, that light-skinned brother that was on the door? Where is he at? The one to do all the hugging. But I came out from the bathroom and came in. He said, there he is. He said, that brother got love in his heart for everybody. See, we have to, and people got to know that because you're the only Bible they're going to ever see.
Yeah,
exactly.
You can quote all the scripture you want, but they got to know and feel that you love them.
Brother George, you just said it. It has to be love. For those of us that are seasoned Christians, the preachers, mm-hmm. the teachers, you got to teach your people in there that if somebody mm-hmm. comes in here, you got to prepare them for that type of stuff.
That's right. That's right.
What he or she looks like coming off the street. If a brother
don't matter.
In there, a young brother coming in with gold in his mouth and dreads hanging from the top of his head to the bottom of his behind, you show that brother love. You don't look at him funny. You don't do that type mm-hmm. of stuff. You show them love. You hug them, but you treat them. You make them feel like they're welcome. And that's not easier said than done. We're supposed to do that. You're supposed to have love in your heart. That sister coming in with her cleavage showing and all her thighs mm-hmm. and sisters and brothers, you still supposed to show that sister love. Now
right.
she thinks she is coming here with all her cleavage showing. Like, no, man. She'll learn all that in due time. They got to show that sister love. You got to show that brother love when they first come in there. That way, that what brother was saying about Deacon so-and-so, look, see, that's not supposed to be like that, man. You got to teach, especially if you're in leadership position. You ain't
right,
supposed to
correct.
Be nobody funny and all of that. You should be glad when somebody comes in your door.
That's right. That's right.
Drunk, stumbling off the street, reeking of alcohol. You show him love, period. That's who you want to come into church anyway.
Right.
Everybody will be coming in a nice, well suit every night.
We all sinners saved by grace.
You don't have long dresses and all of that type of stuff. You, we always say, come as you are. Do we not?
That's right.
We always tell
that's right.
Hello. So they come in as they are. And you show them love when they come in. And that's just all. And we have to teach the people that, not like Brother George said, that's why you have Bible studies, Sunday school. Those are times you got, that's your training out. We'll be training.
Opportunity to give, feed them the word.
Ready. And like I said, and people that's just coming in, like you said, first of all, you gave your life to Christ. You got to want it. You got to go. To, you got, first of all, you know where you're supposed to be at on Sunday. You want to know how many of us knew how to pray when we first got saved? How many of us knew how to do that? We didn't know how to do all of that. But we had something in our heart. We kept coming. We started going to Sunday school. We started going to Bible studies. And you learn. It's not. It's one day at a time. One day at a time. You're not going to learn how to pray in one day. You're not going to learn how to pray one day. You're not going to beat the flesh in one day. Like I tell brothers, if you get saved today and you go home and drink a beer or get whatever the case may be, okay, you're not going to stop drinking today. You're not going to stop cussing today. And don't beat yourself up for doing it. And you got to tell these people that, these brothers that. Don't beat yourself up. You just gave your life to Christ. You ain't got all that out you yet. It takes time. It's a work. Like I said, we all a work in progress. We all working. God is working on me every day. Chip, like I say, the hammer and the nail. Chipping away bits and pieces a little at a time. You're not. It's going to take time for you to get to that point where you can go ahead and keep that flesh under subjection. This season, Chris, you're not having trouble keeping the flesh under subjection.
That's right.
No, that's not an easy thing to do. Go ahead, Brother Glenn.
Dakota, you know, this is the best analogy I give anybody that's trying to walk this walk. I tell them, look at it like this. You're a house, or you're trying to be. You got to first put in the foundation and build it up slowly. I never seen a house built in one day.
Amen. It
takes time. Amen. So as the stuff, whatever's going on, you lay down a foundation. You start putting up sides slowly, and that's your slow walk with God.
Amen.
And at some point, you'll get to where you got the roof, and before you know it, the light will be on the inside.
Amen. That's a good analogy. That's real good.
Yep. Good illustration. Excellent illustration.
Real good.
Before we, man, it's been a really good night, man. Before we get to the takeaways, I want to really touch on something Dakota said for anybody watching that's in leadership and pastors. If your mission statement, or if you throwing that out, come as you are, if you're throwing that out consistently, prepare your people that's in leadership and your members to do that.
Come on.
Because a worldly person knows fake from before.
Yeah, they sure do.
Before they sit down. A worldly person would know that you don't.
They know if you're real or not.
Come as you are, and especially when it's a recommendation. Man, that irks me, man. It irks me when some of the members say, hey, man, come down there, man. Don't worry about that. And the first thing they get in there, debt.
Come
the
on.
Thing that they worry about is the thing that everybody runs from. That, hey, man, we take everybody. We take everybody. And the one thing that person worried about is the thing that runs everybody away from. So if you're in leadership, if that's your mission statement, if you're always throwing that out there, prepare your people to be that and to do that, especially your members, the casual people that don't come all the time. You can't do that. You can't
gotta get be taught.
But your members that come in and they come to the studies, and if you have to have meetings and whatever, that should be something that you focus on, because, man, we're a representation and if we drop the ball at the door, the rest of the church, you might as well shut it down, because the door is everything. That hug that George was giving people, man, you don't know how powerful that was. God might not have had a hug in 10 years, 20 years. And if I can't get a hug at the hospital, right? This is a hospital for people who needing something. If I can't get a hug in there, where am I going to go? I can't go nowhere but back to the street. I can't go nowhere but back to the street. It's nothing left.
Right, correct.
If that's not in place, I can hear the song coming out of the door all Sunday. If I can't get a hug in there, then the crack alley don't look too bad. If I can't get a hug,
you're right, door, right,
$300
right.
$300 suits on and a Bible under their arm, and still won't hug me. But anyway, I can talk about that 30 more minutes.
Amen.
Great night, great topic, Josh, man. Everybody, energy and spirit, man, through the roof, man. I really I really needed it myself personally, man. You guys are the best for me. Jonathan, give me some.
Hey, Todd, can I ask one more question real quick before we do the takeaways?
Yeah.
I can't remember who said it earlier, but they said that believers, God had to give Satan permission to test them. Does that mean he has free reign, or does Satan have limitations on what he can do?
Oh, he got limitations.
Satan don't have free reign, but he doesn't have limitations. Everything is of choice, of free will. That's the way God won. And the thing of it is, Satan puts it out there. It's up to us individually to accept it or not to accept it.
Yeah.
Hey, right.
Yeah.
Somebody clean that up a little bit, because he has limits in terms of things of God. As a child of God, he can't touch me. He can mess with my flesh. He can mess with my flesh and my thoughts, but he can't touch my spirit. Somebody clean that up better. I know.
Well, the good illustration of that is Job.
Yep. Right.
Powerful illustration.
Mm-hmm.
When Satan said, "What is it? Anybody that's perfect? Anybody that you?" He said, "Have you considered my servant Job?"
Right.
But he also gave Satan a command that he wasn't supposed to touch it, kill it.
Right.
Because God, he could do what he needed to do, but that's why God did that. But see, God had a restriction, had a limitations on it, because he was going to deal with Satan.
Right.
So I mean, even with us, you know, we get tested, you know, at the same time. But there's a limit.
Right.
You know, because God, the Bible says God is an ever-present help in the time of need.
Time of need.
He will come to you. He's like that. He won't. And even with me, man, this thing is so powerful. He only let me go but so far in that relationship when he reached in there and snapped me out of there, because he saw where I was going. See, because Satan knew. I had lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, but God was right there with me. God waited at the most opportune time when I was open and let my will be his will, and he snapped me right out of it. And that's how God does it. See, what we have done and took years to destroy, God can do it in a moment's notice. He can restore you.
Restoration.
Why did it take me 33 years and a half to get saved? Because it was sometimes at God's appointed time,
right,
and his opportunity. That's why he don't force his will on. But when you let your will be God's will, the power and magnitude of the Holy Spirit can do powerful things. And remember, we're just ordinary men.
Right.
We're just ordinary. But through the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, catch this, we're able to do extraordinary things. Mm. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens
Amen.
Man. Amen.
Amen.
That's good stuff, man. Man, like I said, man, really, really, really good night tonight. As always, man, it's the same, man. It's just so powerful, man, to look at all the different perspectives and, man, all the wisdom and all the knowledge. And the nugget for me, man, is everybody's willingness to share what they know, because having it and don't sharing it is nothing. You know, if we don't release what God telling us to share, it can't benefit anybody, man. So, man, keep up the good work, man. I love you guys, man. Brother Jonathan.
Josh, thank you for the subject tonight, spiritual warfare, because I feel like it's part of our walk and our growth. Yeah. And I know spiritual warfare has made me grow from the inside out. So thank you for that subject, and God bless you, brothers, and your families.
Amen, brother. Love you, man. Love you, brother Prentice.
Love you too.
Yeah, just appreciate tonight again. Appreciate everybody's heart. Appreciate everybody sharing tonight. Just really, if anybody wants to know, they just got to humble this. You got to pray and ask God. I had been intoxicated when he was speaking. But one.
You still there, bro?
He must got a straight talk, son.
Friends, move about three steps to the right, off the board. I think he froze. Brother George, give me something.
Man, I just when I thought about Job, I thought about us on this call. How we have all went through something at one point in time in our life, and how God just snatched us right back. All of us on this call, and even and thinking about this scripture, man, that we talked about all the time, that Brother Charles talked about. God knows the plans he has for us.
Yeah.
He does. He knows our beginning. He knows our end. He knows everything about us. And we go through things, and we need to give him all the power and glory to that, because look at where we are a year later. Right. And the power and magnitude, there was things that probably came up that were to knock you off course to not even be on the on this men's ministry every step of the way. Right. And we just need to give God the glory, the honor, and praise, because each one of us has been through. And that thing about the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. But man, think about it now. We got so much of the spirit and less of the flesh. And that's why we're overcomers. We're able to deal with situations in our life, to pray and to protect with the protection of God, to pray for our families, and God will always be right there with us. He's an ever-present help in a time of need. That's all I got tonight.
Amen. Amen. Good job, bro. Love you. Brother Prentice, did you scoot over like grandma used to? Did you scoot over a few feet or something?
Bad bye. I don't know what happened. I went totally dark there for a second. The computer went crazy. But anyway, tonight was a good night, man. I appreciate everything. Just from getting around, I'm going to see if I can pull up that thing when we start recording so we can take a look at the page.
Okay.
So go ahead and finish up.
All right, right. He talking about the podcast. We like finishing up. We're finishing up the details. He's gonna get, like, what the cover gonna look like, and that what they finishing up the intro and stuff like that. So soon, everything we get, I'm gonna share it with you, brother Charles.
Oh, Josh, you did a great job, man. God really huge. To help us, to enlighten us, to show us some things that we need to work on. And and I reckon the best thing that, well, something that I struggle with sometimes, I kind of get caught up in what I see, not be in tune with what's behind what I see. And that's warfare comes in, being able to deal with the unseen versus the seen.
Right.
Even with that, oh man, I get hung up on some of this stuff. That Revelation, man, 1:5-6. If I can operate as a believer that's been washed in the blood, if I can operate as a priest that he's called me to be, and if I can operate as a king that he designed me to be, I think we can win the war, man.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Because the enemy is already defeated. He was defeated on the cross.
Right.
That's right.
Good job, bro. Good job. Brother Rick.
I ain't really got much to say, but good Bible study tonight. Something I needed, I guess. And I just got to get back into it full speed.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man. It's so good to have you back and to have you involved, man. We need your insight. It takes every one of us every step of the way. Good job.
That's right. Amen.
Brother Rob.
As I said earlier, good to hear your voice, Brother Rick. Good to hear. Hey, man, I'm tell you, I needed this tonight. Like I said, my family going through something right now, and I knew just two places I need to be. That's the church house and the Zoom. And I know, all right, listen, I thank you for your words tonight, your wisdom. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm so proud of you in a good way that the Lord has picked each and every one of us out, as Brother Charles and Brother George keep stating that. We've been put out here for an assignment.
Yes, right.
We've been equipped to do this and to take this further. and to people that's listening on social media, this is not staged. This is live, and we giving you input and stuff that we went through, and hope that it helps somebody, especially those that are young in Christ Jesus. Listen, we love you, and you can get a hug. All you got to do is call and text. And I'm sure somebody will reach out and tell you, because we want you to make this journey. I'm not trying to be no big eye and little you. I'm just a humble servant. I've been through a lot, and I love the Lord. I love God's people. I love being around God's people. I love talking to God's people. And, you know, that's just what I do now, and I don't care about nothing else. I got love in my heart, and nobody can take that away. I got the love of God, and I want to share it with everybody that I come in contact with. I thank you, Brother Josh, for the lesson tonight. Man, keep growing, keep going, and like I said, I love you, brothers.
Love you, too. Good job, Brother Josh.
I just thank you guys for allowing me to go tonight, and just for your wisdom and all your words and the love. And man, I love you guys, and can't wait till next Tuesday.
Amen. Good job. Brother Jerome.
You know, I just want to tell Josh, thank you for the good subject tonight. But also, Josh, I want to thank you for when you're teaching and you allow everybody to get involved like you did tonight. It's always a good lesson when we can get everybody involved.
Right.
That's my takeaway tonight, that even though Josh put the word out there, he put some good scriptures out there, but everybody was in tune, everybody got involved, and it spread it across the whole discussion. So that's a good night, and we got a lot of different perspectives and a lot of different opinions about certain things, and which, you know, the people that are listening, for me, I learned a lot. So just thank you guys. That's all I got.
Good job. Hey, man, before I turn it over to Brother Dakota, man, I don't know if I'm gonna let you pray us out with that. You're gonna have to do something with that, whatever that is, and it look like possum waste. But anyway, another great night, man. Man, this thing, man. I'm just so grateful, man. I think for me, with my makeup, and now that I done turned 50, 5 decades, I've been really masculine and being really cocky. A lot of people say arrogant. I haven't spent a lot of time on earth with gratefulness. You can't be both. You know what I mean? You can't be cocky, can't be arrogant, and then grateful. You know what I'm saying? Because you have a self-centeredness that comes with that. And so, man, to be in this forum, man, in this setting, talking about God and Jesus, man, I'm so grateful. I just can't say enough. I can't say enough, man. Today's been kind of rough for me. But, man, you know how calming and soothing it is to have 10, 11 brothers that I called back in the day. It would have been the ABC store. I mean, back in the day, when I had a rough day, it was the ABC store and the Motel 6.
All right.
And so to be on the other side of the spectrum, to not have those thoughts, hey, Brother Rob, I can't text Brother Rob first. This stuff always hooked to the Bluetooth. Al Green come back playing in the background, and Otis Redd and all that. But but if I call him, he going to answer. It's any one of you guys, man. And so to have what we talk about every Tuesday night, it's like an insurance policy that I've never had. You know what I'm saying? It's comforting knowing. Mm-hmm. I look at guys, and guys come to me, and I don't know why they always ask me. They say, "Hey, man, do you guys talk off of Tuesday night?" Like, I get that question a lot. I said, "Man, we don't talk all the time." I said, "But I talk to pretty much each one of these guys at least once every couple of days, every week or something." And because it's an envious feeling from a man to know that, hey, man, he got guys that love him, because I don't care how people talk, how macho a guy is, love is love. You know, love is love. And man, for a man to have this much love in a group, man, I'm just thank you guys. I love all y'all, man, for real. Next week is the round table. Looking forward to it. Anybody got anything else for us? Turn it over to Brother Dakota.
Yeah, I just want to say this. This is supposed to be a Bible study. Why is George and Dakota got stuff from Satan on their head?
I know, right?
I'm just putting that out there. I'm just saying.
I'm
my brother. You need more brother keepers than him. I'm gonna say this,
Dakota.
I'm gonna say this. Anytime the TV, you got a TV as your main attraction at your stadium, you ain't got. Everybody go comes to the big old TV on upstairs. That's it. Anyway, brother, go
take us
home, and I'm gonna pray for you when I go to bed. You and George
with them hats. You do that.
Okay.
You do that. God bless you, brother George. Let us pray.
Love you, brother Cody.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, as your word says in Psalm 133, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this gathering on tonight, God. We came here tonight to give you glory, to give you praise, to give you honor. Iron sharp as iron. We thank you for the wisdom. We thank you for the knowledge that was imparted in us on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for our brother Rick being on the line on tonight in Jesus' name, God. Amen. Thank you for his wisdom. Thank you for that brother. Continue to bless him and use him and strengthen him in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Praying for brother Glenn right now, wherever he may be right now. Keep him covered with your blood, that no hurt, harm, or danger comes in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Father God, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for life, health, and strength, God. Continue to use us. May your holy favor be on each and every last one of us, God. Bless each and every family. Bless the wives in Jesus' name. Bless the children, God, in Jesus' holy name, God. And I pray, Father God, that we will become stronger on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus than what we were than when we first came on tonight in Jesus' name, God. Looking forward to next week, if it be your will, in the mighty name of Jesus, for a roundtable discussion, God. Praying for more knowledge to be imparted in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Lord, we just praying that you have your way and your will be done in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.